The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you,
Lord. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow he knows not how. Of its own accord the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? What parable can we use for it?" It is like a mustard seed, that when it is sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the feast of two who proclaimed God's marvelous deeds to all the nations. Two who did precisely what we heard, who were constantly singing a new song to the Lord, using some of the notes that we have in the Hebrew Bible, but doing them with a totally new melody. New wineskin, not an old patch. They were singing to him in so many lands, blessing his name, announcing his salvation, telling his glory among the nations, his wondrous deeds among the peoples. But where'd that come from? That was a fruit of a good tree. Today's first reading in Gospel show us about that process that led to that type of fruit. And so far as each of us is called to proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations as well, especially somebody who works before all the nations at the same time, I think that it's key for us to look at that process. The other day, Wednesday, we had the parable of the sower and the seed, which we see the Lord's work portrayed in that parable of his inseminating not just his words but himself within us, looking for that good soil that would bear not just a little fruit but abundant fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Today, Jesus builds on that image in the Gospel. He describes how the kingdom of God grows. It can start very small, but then it can become huge. Jesus would say elsewhere, St. Matthew's Gospel, that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can transplant the Appalachians into the Atlantic. Not that that's the way we'd use faith, but he wants us to have great confidence that what begins really small can grow really big. And that's what he wants to do. We don't know how that happens. Just like the growth of seed happens at night in scientific processes that most of us don't know very well. So the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies and implants himself within us will grow likewise at night. Likewise, when we're unaware, even if we're really tired and we're sleeping in the chapel in the morning out of fatigue, the Lord can still grow and do his work. Second image that he uses is of this man scattering the seed. You've got the mustard seed and you've got the scattering of the seed. And the farmer just has that incredible confidence that it will grow of its own interior power. That the seed contains within it its principle of growth. That yes, we have to cooperate, but within is that very principle. So when the Lord implants himself in us, he's got the power himself to grow, provided that we put no resistance. It starts with him and his work. Today's first reading on this feast of Saints Timothy and Titus shows us the third key element. He says in words that are famous, "Stir into a flame the gift of God you have received." Stir into a flame. That does point to the work of us. The flame was given by God. He has ignited. But there's an activity on our part to make that flame grow. How do we make the flame grow? A lot of the times the flame grows by surrounding ourselves by people who are on fire. Some of the times that flame grows by blowing on it just enough with the Holy Spirit. Too much will extinguish it, but just enough so that it begins to stoke it. Gets more oxygen in. The oxygen of the practices of the faith, good spiritual practices. But that's the means by which what God has begun can grow. But there are other things that St. Paul mentions here, which I think are very important for us in the growth of faith. He knew Timothy very well from the time he met him as a little kid. St. Timothy probably likewise confided in Paul by means of his letters when St. Paul was in prison. And this second letter was almost a last will and testament of Paul, his valedictory to his spiritual son. And he gave some things that would stop that stirring into a flame, the seed that God had started. So why does he say, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice? Because fear can extinguish the flame. What does help stir the flame? When we recognize that God has given us a spirit of power, love, and self-mastery. Power. He's given us a spirit of power. He has given us strength. Love. He has placed his own love into our heart. That bonfire that burns eternally. He has given us a little part of that flame. Self-mastery. That we are capable of pouring ourselves out, bringing that flame to others. That we have the ability together with God to be able to make the choices to bring it. We're not out of, we have control at the same time that God's in control. There's a cooperative relationship here. St. Paul knew that St. Timothy on occasion would doubt the spirit that was placed in him. How much power God has given, how much love he has given, how much of that fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the last of the list of the fruits in Galatians 5, which is precisely this self-mastery. And then he gets a little stronger. So don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord. St. Paul in his letter to the Romans emphatically insists that he is not ashamed of the gospel. He's not embarrassed about it by the least of it, I'll learn how to speak English at some point, I guess. But I have a spirit of power, love, and self-control, so I'm not going to be ashamed to preach, even if I gobble up words and say all types of unintentional malapropisms. Nevertheless, not to be ashamed. But to be confident in your testimony of the Lord. Why was he saying that to Timothy? Because Timothy was ashamed. St. Paul, who doubtless was St. Timothy's hero, this great apostle comes and chooses him. And what's happened to him? Jailed. He's incarcerated. He's suffering. Rather than setting the whole world on fire, he's got his arms and his legs bound to a wall. Would have been easy for Timothy, with his preliminary approaches to who Paul was, to think what a terrible contradiction this was. Many times, similarly, the early Christians we know up until really the time of legalization of Christianity, they didn't really use the crucifix much at all. To have Jesus publicly executed was an embarrassment before the Romans. They had to say, but he rose from the dead, but it was only later, pondering St. Paul's words, that they were able to see in Christ crucified the power and the wisdom of God. But Timothy was a little bit ashamed of Paul's sufferings and his own. So he says, don't be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord and what it will bring about, your testimony of the cross, nor of me a prisoner for his sake. I am triumphing, St. Paul is saying. I am showing that Christ is worth living for and worth dying for and worth suffering for. Don't be ashamed of this. But then he gets personal. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Bear your share of hardship. Sister, each of us is going to be given a share of the cross, a share of hardship for the gospel. That those sufferings are part of our testimony, of which we should never be ashamed. And the Lord who gives us that cross, that shear, will give us the strength in order to bear it. But if we don't grasp these things, if we don't grasp that the Lord has given us a spirit of power, love, and self-control, we don't grasp that he's given us a share of hardship for the gospel, that it's not a contradiction, but in fact a confirmation of the apostolate that flows from our baptism, from our confirmation, from the sacrament of holy orders for me, then that flame with which the Lord has ignited us, rather than being stirred, it's going to be diminished and perhaps even extinguished. So yes, when God starts the work, it grows of its own interior power. And it can grow into something really, really huge. And God often intends that for the church, but even for institutes like the Sisters of Life in the church. Even the fruit of a priest in a parish, or in an international deliberative body. But in order for that to occur, we have the work of stirring it into a flame with the various means of oxygen that the Lord gives, and that we need to be attentive to those things that won't help stir it into a flame, but will do something contrary. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, we come to the source of fire. St. Ephrem, that great 4th century Syrian deacon, said, putting words into the Lord's own mouth in one of his famous epic poems of the faith, he who receives me receives forgetting the first word. The second word is fire. He receives me. I think it's spirit and fire. I can't remember what the first word is off the top of my head. I'm still not ashamed of the gospel. But receives fire. We receive fire This is the extraordinary way for us to stir into a flame, because the Lord himself will come and blow on that flame from within every time we receive him. And as St. Catherine of Siena said in a letter, this is where the ignition of the world occurs. That it's from receiving the Lord that we're able to go and light the whole world ablaze, proclaiming God's marvelous work to all the nations. Through the intercession of Saints Timothy and Titus and St. Paul, let us ask the Lord fully to inflame us with the power of His Spirit so that we might go out and renew with the Holy Spirit the face of the earth. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.